in parts of ISKCON, especially in Vrindavan, in India, the place where Lord Krishna manifested his pastimes on earth 5,000 years ago, it is customary to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the most important verses of the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, third chapter. The 28th verse is part of a chapter which is called Krishna is the source of incarnations, of all incarnations. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam available in our shop. If you want to go into the store and have a look, you can see these books like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, and the Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, and Nectar of Instruction, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and others are the basis of the Hare Krishna movement. The philosophical teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the whole disciplic succession going back to Lord Krishna are expounded in these books, and I would encourage all of you who aren't already reading them to get some, take them home with you, and at your convenience in your leisure time to read them. You'll find them very interesting, very penetrating, very applicable, very relevant to today's world. So this is the verse which is in many ways considered to be the key verse, or the essential verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful story of the personality of Godhead, or Lord Sri Krishna. And this verse talks about Krishna being the fountainhead of all the other incarnations of Godhead. It reads, Ete chamsha kalo pumsa krishnastu bhagavan svayam indrari vyakulam lokam midayanti yuge yuge. And Prabhupada's translation is, all of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. I'm going to read Prabhupada's commentary on this verse and comment on it. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations. He is counted amongst the avatars, incarnations, because out of his causeless mercy, the Lord descends from his eternal abode. Avatar means one who descends. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord himself, descend on the different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life, to fulfill particular missions. Sometimes he comes himself, and sometimes his different plenary portions, or parts of the plenary portions, or his differentiated portions, directly or indirectly empowered by him, descend on this material world to execute certain specific functions. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fames, all beauties, all knowledge, and all renunciations. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions, or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of his different powers are required for those particular functions. So the full manifestation of Krishna, or the full sense, the ultimate person, is defined by Parasara Muni as that person who is completely full in all of the opulences, prowess, fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, and wealth. This is the ultimate form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures, particularly the Srimad Bhagavatam, give us very detailed knowledge of what is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what are his activities, who are in his entourage, what is he thinking about, and how he manifests himself and the different manifestations of the spiritual and material worlds. When in the room small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. For example, Lord Parashuram and Lord Nrisimha displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even the demigods in other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrow. The demigods in the higher level of material existence many, many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and in all other respects. Still, they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. But even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Nrisimha. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Janmadagna displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. The Lord's empowered incarnation, Narada, and plenary incarnation, Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Rama and Dhanvantari displayed his fame, and Balaram, Mohini, and Vamana exhibited his beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumara, and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayan Rishis exhibited his renunciation. So all the different incarnations of the Lord, indirectly or directly, manifested different features. But Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead. And thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss, and knowledge, although these are manifested apparently as sex love. The specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto, and in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in 9 other cantos. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth are full. They are present in the Supreme Person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to himself. In this stanza, the word Svayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality. In this stanza, the word Svayam indicates the supremacy of the Summum Bonum. The word Summum Bonum Krishna is one without a second. The Summum Bonum Krishna is one without a second. He himself has expanded himself in various parts, portions, and parcels as Svayam Rupa, Svayam Prakash, Tade Katma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatara, Avesha, and Jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to the respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars in transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the Summum Bonum Krishna to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentage of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes 100% or 100%, and his personal expansions, such as Svayam Prakash and Tade Katma, up to the categories of avatars who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor avesha, nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. But the jivas, or the original living beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma, the supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. All other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings, who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky, are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Haridam and Maheshdam. The abode of Lord Krishna, above all spiritual planets, is called Krishna Loka, or Goloka Vrindavan. And the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishna after leaving the present material body. Om Aginati Mirandasya Ganananjana Salakaya Chaksurin Maritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Tadati Svaparantikam. Prabhupada is exhorting the living beings to not be Krishna or to merge with the Supreme Personality, but to attain spiritual purity and thereby come to the planet of Krishna. The material planet, or the material world in which we live, is described as a world that is full of duality, in which name and substance are different, in which every action has a reaction, in which every good thing has a counterpart which is bad or negative. This is not natural according to the philosophy of the Bhagavad. It is not normal, and therefore it is not meant for permanent habitation. The residents of the material world are very keen to make a permanent situation in this material world. There is a tendency to pass on one's wealth to one's posterity and on, and to create a dynasty that will endure forever. But the history of the material world is to the contrary. Every great dynasty that has existed in the world has come to an end. None has endured throughout the course of history. The only thing that has endured is the knowledge found in the Bhagavatam, in the Vedas. That is not an old or an ancient culture, but an eternal culture. And that has endured. That teaching, although it has become almost lost in various periods of history, it has endured and provided a means for the living entity to learn what this material world is, how to live within it, and how ultimately to leave it. Rishabhdev advises his sons, also mentioned in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Satvam. Maharaj Rishabhdev had 100 sons, and his main teaching to them was that you shouldn't remain forever. Don't try to make a permanent settlement in this material world. But understand that, which is something that everyone is trying to do, even the animals are trying to do it, and maybe not so aware, but they're trying to do it. And they're living in a way that is, to us, very abominable, very unpleasant. And yet, the way most human beings are living is non-different. Because animals are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And human beings are doing the same thing, but in a somewhat more polished fashion. But ultimately, this is what everyone is working very hard to do. To eat better, to sleep better, to mate better, and to defend better. The second largest business in this world is weapon selling. That's defending. And the first biggest business is, anybody know, want to guess? Huh? What's the first biggest earner of dollars? What business? Huh? Food. It's drugs. Selling of drugs earns the largest amount of money. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, enjoying the material world. So this is what the cats and the dogs and the horses and the monkeys are all doing. They're trying to have better sex. They're trying to get long sleep. They're defending themselves in various ways. Monkeys are sometimes stealing bananas. to get food very intelligently. So the Srimad Bhagavatam and Maharaj Rishabhdev in particular advises his sons that the purpose of human life is not to remain. The Bhagavatam has very strong words, to rot, it says, to rot in this material world, lifetime after lifetime, generation after generation, but to come to the spiritual world, the world of Krishna, where all bodies are made of Satchidananda, knowledge, bliss and eternity. This comes from purification. When the mind and the heart are sufficiently purified, then there is the opportunity to gain a spiritual body, a body like Krishna's, the 78% that we're reading about, and come to spiritual purity, to perfect enjoyment, perfect happiness. This then is the normal, happy, ordinary condition for human beings, not to be in a place in which we are trapped by the laws of karma, to act. We're forced to act by the modes of nature, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, sattva, raja, and tattva. They're always acting upon us. The laws of karma, they're always acting upon us. Many of you have seen the Jain people. They wear a kind of, looks like a surgical mask sometimes, because they know that with every inhalation, living entities are being terminated. So, devotional service means that we can continuously engage in a practice which removes all karmic reaction. That's the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Every time you breathe, every time you take a step, every time you move, so many living entities are being killed. There's so many reactions. But these reactions are all taken away by engaging in the process of devotional service. So much so that you accumulate more credit, more spiritual credit, than you can negative karma. That's the power of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And therefore, the chanting has become popular. It's spread all over the world in a very short time. Because, first of all, people are becoming peaceful. Second, they're becoming happy. Third, they're becoming free from sinful reactions. And therefore, everyone is getting benefit. It benefits the chanter and it benefits the hearer. Great benefit. This is the process that is recommended in the age when Kalosudra Sambhavan, everyone is born in a very low mentality. Talo nasteva 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 gatera nyata. In the age of Kali, the Yuga Dharma is this. We won't be successful in silent meditation, we won't be successful in vast, great sacrifices and temple worship. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate success in this age of Kali is to chant the Maha Mantra. So we're going to all chant together for a few minutes before we stand for Aarti, so everyone can get a little taste. This is something you can do as a private meditation, and when you do it as a group, when we sing together, you're also getting, everyone is getting great benefit. So these are kind of a lifeline, you might say. You know, when someone's drowning, they throw them a rope. This is the lifeline that gets us out of the material world into the spiritual world. So we chant with these two fingers, the thumb and the third finger. And if we all chant together, we chant one mantra. This is the mantra on the ceiling, on just below the ceiling, above the alcove. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that's one mantra chanted on one bead. And then, after chanting on the one beat, we go to the next beat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Until we return to this summit beat. That's called one round of japa. And it's recommended that we chant at least one round, and up to unlimited numbers. For those who go to the extent of being initiated, you can chant 16 every day, but whether you chant 1, 2, 3, or 4, it's all spiritual credit and very beneficial. So we'll start, and then we can finish right before Aarti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Thank you.